Hey, everybody.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm on top of the world.
Good, are you?
Me too.
Yeah. Let's start a podcast.
Let's do this.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasure gets sad, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friend.
I struggled with that one.
That wasn't good.
That's definitely not one of our best.
Yeah, well, there was a few things.
No, Josh, don't bring us into your downfall.
You were so delayed. I was trying to be in between you and Andy. And
it's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Farmer's joined us. Look who's here, Sam. Before we start talking to you, are you recording in your location? We're underway. Are you recording there? He is always working.
Yep, nonstop.
This is actually vindication for him because he literally stopped working on NFL draft preparation to do this. It is somewhat vindicating, but he doesn't have his headphones on. Don't tell him I said that. Oh, there he is.
Sports never rests, Andy. You know that. There's always a sporting event going on somewhere, sometime, anytime.
Yes,
and Sam Farmer is on top of. Oh, now he's frozen.
He's frozen.
That was it. That was the show. There he is.
There he is. Now, Sam, we need you to record only your voice. Where I know this. It's been 2 years. It's been 2 years since you've been here. So a primer. You just need to record your voice where you are. So then I'll take all four voices and put them together. Don't record all four of us because that fucks me.
And now we can't hear you.
And now we can't hear you. You're muted. Anywho's, it is just beautiful to see all four of you. Well, all three of you. All four of us. Well,
you can see all of us, but you just can't hear all of us. So I'm going to try and read Sam's lips, and then I will
translate.
I will translate. Right now, it's just a.
Yeah, he's got an angry, I'm on the toilet look in his face.
This isn't going to bring him back anymore.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to the podcast, fellas.
What's going on?
Well, things are going pretty well,
yeah.
I have to say, at least in my little corner of the world. While we're waiting for Sam to get connected with the audio, I've got to say, you know, and as we said this last week, this isn't going to be the lymphoma podcast. And I may be, I hear Sam. I heard noise. We good to go?
Yes.
There he is.
Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for being so patient with me. You never gave me the Zoom link. It's week after week, and you failed to give me the Zoom link.
That's Andy's fault. As usual, it's Andy's fault.
I picture Sam sitting at Arrowhead Stadium. He's in the locker room there, and he's looking for the link.
He's like, he said 8 weeks in a row, and they still can't send the link.
Stiffed.
Again. Guess I'll watch the Super Bowl.
All right. Mystery solved.
Every year I do these mock draft. You know, I'm rearranging these things, take over the whole kitchen or the kitchen counter, or I've got the dining room table here.
Sure.
And I add a little something every week. So every year. So this is a standard thing. I've got 100 of these names, which are just the.
He's holding up a sticker. It's like a blue piece of paper with a mailing label on it that he printed out, and it has the position that they play. This is a defensive player, a cornerback, safety. It's Elijah Molden Sr. from Washington, and it has his height and weight on there. What did you add this year?
This year I added, and Paige helped me with this on the teams. I added a little helmet. Have a little helmet.
Hey, that's a Greenwood Woodman helmet.
That's
my high school.
Oh, is that right?
It also happens to be the Green Bay Packers, but it was the same.
So very fancy, Sam.
It's very fancy. It's very nice. So I like that a lot. And so that should help, right?
In some way, to as you're looking down at things to tie together the
now you put the helmet on the you think that's the team that's going to take them?
Yeah. Well, actually, if I can show you here, I've got a table. So I've got I've got each pick. Some of the it's color coordinated. So my quarterbacks are purple. Offensive linemen are green. In this case, corners are blue. So, yeah, just the visuals, being able to see that. And when I get to the draft, it's in Cleveland this year, I'll lay them out on the hotel bed and really kind of manipulate them that way. And it's just easier for me to, especially when there are trades and things, or you can make little notations of who's injured. Or
how far, when you do this, what's the farthest down the line, the list that of draft that you've gone and nailed every single one correctly? Like, how many picks in a row have you got correctly?
Know, last year I did pretty well. Last year I think I was among the top in the, they ranked like the top 500 drafts.
Uh-huh.
And I think I was in the top five maybe.
I've got a
good 5-year history of mock drafts, which just amps up the pressure. Now I might have gotten like 7 or 8 of the top 10 last year, so that's I had a good streak. But the thing is, once you get one wrong, or there's a
or trade,
that means you get 2 wrong.
Right.
So
and then that means players fall that you didn't expect to fall, and all of a sudden teams just start going, oh, that guy wasn't, we didn't expect that guy to be there. So
hey, so to reset the premise for people who are just tuning in, and let's say you started listening to this podcast sometime in the last 3 years, you probably don't know who this fourth guy is. the new voice joining us this week is Sam Farmer, and you know Sam Farmer if you read anything about NFL or Wimbledon. Is that happening this summer?
Yeah, Wimbledon's going to happen, and
it's all gonna, you're still going to be there as well.
I'll go to the Masters in a couple weeks, which I'm really looking forward to, in fact, I just got back from San Diego. I went down and spent time with Lee Elder, who was the first black player in the Masters, 1975. And he was tremendous. And he's coming out, and he'll hit one of the ceremonial drives with, it'll be Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Lee Elder will hit the first tee shot. Yeah, so.
That's a Mount Rushmore of golf right there.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat. I'm looking forward to it. The Masters is really, really a cool event for journalists. The way they treat you, that you get a locker with your name on it, you get,
I remember seeing all the pictures from a couple years ago. Cool. I mean, they really do. And there's like no cell phones allowed. Is that right?
Yeah. No cell phones. And, the rules are pretty strict. Although this year we, cause it was in November, you remember that in November Masters. And, it was really neat cause, everything was, the media was, it was really restricted at this particular Masters. Typically you're able to go into the clubhouse and go into the, grill room and things like that. But all that stuff was off limits, but Roger Goodell was there and he's a member of Augusta, and he invited me to.
He's diversifying.
Yes. So invited me there to breakfast, which was great. And when I got there, it was Roger and Peyton Manning, also a green jacket there. And so we had a really cool breakfast. But I've completely hijacked a much more serious topic, and I feel bad about that.
But to paint the picture so the people know what's happening right now, Sam, the reason he, in all seriousness, the reason he wasn't here, from Labor Day until, the end of the year and then end of the new year, the NFL season, which was peculiar this year more so than most, and because of COVID and all of that business. Now he is getting ready for it all starts over again because the combine happened? Is it happening this week?
No, actually, they scrubbed the combine this year.
So there's no combine this year. Okay.
All, so the pro days.
So the NFL, they're having their pro days, and then the draft is in just a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, the draft. Well, it's about a month, but
is it a month away?
Yeah.
So right now, if you could see Sam, let me draw the picture for you. We see in his house, it's a darkened room with tar paper walls, and like the Zodiac killer, he's got pictures of the different players and the different cities, and
strings connecting, strings, ones.
Yarn connecting, yeah. and pentagrams. And so forth, yeah.
There's just,
yeah.
Just so that's what he's McDonald's doing. McDonald's bags everywhere.
I think I saw in the corner jars of urine. I mean, it's really crazy.
Yeah, he commits.
He really does.
He commits to it, which is great.
Yeah. Well, that's why he's in the Hall of Fame, man. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that is funny. Guys, we started saying something a minute ago. I didn't want to brag about anything, but I don't know if you noticed an affectation that I've got today that I've never had before on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, we see it. No, it's a glaring change. It is
at your service. Yeah. Tip of the cap.
How does it feel?
You promised us last week that
looks good.
It does it, yeah. Josh? Does
it's crazy.
Come on. I'm
sorry. You're right.
It's hard to tell in this light.
It looks really good.
It's hard to tell in this light, but what's crazy is I got my ball caps. You see, I've got an unusually large...
He's got a boulder head.
Cranium, mm-hmm. Yeah. All the better to think about you, my dear. And so I've never in my lifetime been able to wear a ball cap. Mm-hmm. I just haven't. I mean, there's a picture of me as a kid, you know, wearing a ball cap when I'm like four. And that's the last picture I think there's been taken of me wearing a cap.
Now, even your parents were like, oh, we're never going to do that to him again.
Like, yeah, they're, no. they're whispering to each other, did you see the size of his head?
When I played football,
honey,
I played football.
Honey, did that come out of you? Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry, baby. I'm so sorry I did that to you.
Yeah, luckily I didn't pass that on to Laura. You know, it's always been a pretty good size nugget, and realizing that there are high chances, high probability with chemotherapy, I'm going to lose my hair. I decided it's time to invest in some sort of cap. When I played football for 8 years, they had to go out to the pumpkin patch and holler one out. It was not good, and so. And so finally, you know, to have this, I found a company that makes hats that are just a little bit bigger. Yeah. They're just a little bit larger and they fit. And it doesn't look like I'm a Gazoo from the Flintstones. It just looks like a guy wearing a hat. And I just couldn't be happier about it. This morning, I get up. Grammy's in town. She's visiting with, you know, the kids. And I'm usually the one that makes breakfast, you know, breakfast and brunch on the weekends. So I say to Laura, we're still just waking up. I'm like, so do we have everything we need? No, I've got to go to the store. Okay, I'll go to the store and I'll do that because she wasn't feeling well. And so I pop up. I was going to comb my hair.
Hell no.
And then I realized I can just put on a cap.
Hey, welcome to the hat life, man.
That's the first time in my life that I had a cap moment where I'm just going to cover up that rat's nest and we're just going to go right to the store.
And with yours, you can take it fishing and use it as the net when it's done. So you got like multiple purposes. You can use it as a colander, I think. You probably put your paws in it.
Good heavens. Go fuck yourself.
Well, by the way, we could post that site if anybody else has a medical anomaly. Clothing. Clothing for the abnormal.
It's odd job hats. And can I tell you the name of the size that they sent me?
Oh, please.
Mega.
Get close. It's called Big Melon.
BM.
So I got the big melon.
Odd job. So I wonder if that's a reference to the
the James Bond villain. The guy who threw his bowler hat. Yes, of course.
Oh my
Honestly,
god.
Honestly, who throws a shoe? Who throws a shoe?
That's hilarious.
I'm all set up, and I got two of them now. I got them in rotation, and that's important because I'm about to tell you. And again, I don't want to wear it on my sleeve all the time, but I realized this last week is what I'm going through, and so that's probably going to be a lot of the things that are on my mind, day to day. Day five of chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And I poured 50 pounds of concrete.
Oh, my God. Take a break, man.
I'm dead serious.
You earned it. You don't have to pour the concrete.
Is that a euphemism?
I was going to ask the same thing. Because I wasn't sure if he just didn't finish the sentence, Sam. Exactly. But I think he's actually talking about genuine concrete. So I think that's what he's saying.
It was amazing. So I poured the concrete where I was going to put the grill. You know, there was that area we talked about this months ago. It was just river rocks. And I'm like, this isn't doing any good. So I'm going to pour some concrete. And I realized, I'll just pour 10 50-pound bags of concrete. Or 10 80-pound, whatever they were, 60-pound bags. And I start doing it, and I realize, I'm going to need, 10 more. And pour a ton of concrete, 2,000 pounds of concrete out there. Get this thing done. Nobody says, hey, Andy, concrete shrinks. Shrinks up. Wow. So there's this.
So then
it's kind of sinks down, and I've got these little ponds, you know, these puddles where water pools, and I don't want to be brewing mosquitoes and shit out there. So I get this patching stuff that you can put over the top of it, this,
I believe you.
What is it? Elastomeric or whatever this shit is. Anyway, it's leveling stuff. That's what I poured yesterday, and it came out chef's kiss. It's fantastic. Yeah. I'm moving the grill into place. All of those things happening. But yesterday, I just got a little concrete on the cap.
Ooh.
So toss that one in the wash.
Yeah.
Have the secondary cap, the blue one. I've got two in rotation. I'm flush. I'm cash flush. I'm cap flush.
Two? You only got two, man. You are a rookie, so you say that's a good idea. Start off with two. Work your way up.
Yep.
What's is the other one the same color, or did you get a different color?
No, the other one's gray.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. So I got a gray and a blue. Blue and the gray. Should appreciate it. It's like a Civil War color.
Yeah, exactly. Get one for both sides. Why not?
Andy, you know about this, and you probably all three know about this. Like, where does concrete come from? How do they create concrete? I know it's a mixture of sand and that, but... like in parts of Mexico, their production places. And doesn't it take a long time to dry, like weeks and months? I mean, I know on the surface where you can walk on it, but it's kind of...
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so what the little I know about... You know what? We need low-energy Mike to answer this one.
Yeah.
If George doesn't beat him to it. Concrete.
By the way, if you guys haven't watched the documentary History of Concrete, you should check it out on Netflix. It is fascinating.
4 hours of bliss.
Yes. It was Ken Burns and David Keith's narration.
There's actually no live action footage. It's all just photos.
It's all photos. Slow pan. Slow zoom in.
Can you draw my question?
Ken Burns cement. The director's cut. That's great.
I can hear the letters now. Dear Emily, today I poured 50 pounds of concrete. I was hoping for the best, but it turns out concrete shrinks. You'll never understand the way my heart sank.
Now, who narrates this movie? Who's the narrator for Concrete?
It's got to be Ken. It's got to be Ken himself.
That's true.
It's a chemical reaction. It's what is it? Calcium,
cornstarch,
something, and lime and and you put it all and it hardens and there's a chemical reaction that goes on. As a matter of fact, it's caustic as shit. I got caught in the middle of it yesterday. Like, I didn't get my gloves on and I mixed this stuff and it was starting to harden. I'm like, holy shit, I got to pour this now and do it with a trowel. I was out there with my bare knuckles doing this, you know, it was just a 20 minute job. But by the end of it, my knuckles are all like completely dried out. It's like, it's the sandpaper on my hands right now. But, cement, it's not forgiving.
Now, is it concrete or cement, Andy?
Is that the name of this episode? Cement is not forgiving.
Is it? I don't know the difference. Is cement the same thing as concrete?
No.
And here's the thing too. There are two different pronunciations because in Indiana it's cement.
Yeah, well, that ain't right.
Thanksgiving.
In concrete. Is it concrete?
I think concrete is the finished substance. I think cement is more of a binder that is like not really used on its own.
I think if there's anybody here that doesn't know,
if you watch the fucking documentary, they cover this.
But in all seriousness, I gotta say it was weird yesterday. And you know, I feel like I don't want to be cocky because. Number one, I didn't even tell you about the first infusion shit when it went down, did I? But I got the drugs this last week. I got all but one of them, with the nastiest one, which looks like Rust-Oleum in a syringe. Oof, it's like this giant 2-inch syringe, and it looks like red paint in there. I don't get that stuff because they thought I was having a reaction to it. So I don't want to get cocky. But so fucking far, so good.
Yeah, good.
Where, like, yesterday, it's weird.
Were they telling you that this was going to be a rough week, that latter part of the week would feel it?
Days 4 through 7 are supposed to be the shittiest.
Yeah.
Okay? We're in day 6 right now. So we're in the middle of that. And they said, you know, if you're going to feel awful... If you're going to feel horribly nauseous and you're going to feel, you know, just dead tired, this is going to be the window. Well, again, not being cocky because I didn't get that one drug and it's still only halfway through that window. But yesterday I got up, felt good, had a sore throat a little bit. That's it. But got up, that kind of went away, and I come outside, and I'm like, you know what? I'd like to get that done. I wonder if I could do that. And I could only work in like 10-minute bursts. Before I got tired and just, my heart was thumping because I'm on prednisone. I'm, you know, just had to sit down. But then I'd get back up 10 minutes later and do another 10 minutes of stuff and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Mm. The birds are singing. I got music playing outside.
Got a new hat
it was,
on.
Just I had my hat on.
It doesn't get any better than that, really.
It was really fucking nice. And I'm like, this is a great day. Laura, you know, Silas had a sleepover. Laura had Viv out. They were getting their nails done. And I was just there by myself enjoying the day. I'm like, I'm really happy right now. This is like a really great, great day. And it was odd to me. It's like, this is supposed to be one of the shittiest days. And it actually feels good. And today, feel kind of the same way. A little bit of a sore throat, but otherwise, you know, plugging along and only on one of the anti-nausea drugs. I haven't even cracked the other one. I'm only a little bit high right now.
Nice.
And things are going pretty good so far. Good. So, you know, touch wood and whistle.
You sound great and you look chipper. So, I mean, to me, it's just like normal, regular old
Andy,
except with a hat.
My mother-in-law got here, Grammy got here, and she's guest told Laura basically, wow, cancer really looks good on you. I've slimmed down.
Yeah, this is great.
should have done this years ago.
I knew all those Marlboros would pay off.
Right?
Andy, did they change the cocktail at all, or is it like this?
No, they still call it R-CHOP, and the one I didn't get, I don't know which letter it is, because the drug's actually called Adriamycin, and I mean, they call this shit the Red Devil. Honestly, the rest of them, you know, you've seen an IV, right?
Sure.
You know, a saline IV? You know, it's just the you know, clear liquid IV. That's what all of them were, until they get to this one, and no shit, it's a syringe that the body of it is like 6 inches long. Oof. And then, you know, the plunger. So it's like a foot long and it's like an inch and a half in diameter. And it's full of like 3 inches of red paint.
So it's just like a caulking gun.
Oh my God.
It's like a caulking gun full of like beef gravy.
Exactly. And they're like, you're going to piss red for a day or so after this. And so they start putting it in. And here's the thing that kind of, and this kind of pissed me off a little bit. I appreciate, no, I wasn't mad at them. I'm glad that they were cautious and so forth. But they're like, let us know if you feel anything. Let us know if you feel anything weird. Anything weird. And you know how when you get an IV, how you feel that cool?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Have you ever gotten, you know, you feel in your arm, it's like, oh, it's just that cool sensation. Because it's room temperature and you're warmer. Well, this they start doing, I'm like, okay, that I kind of feel a chill. It feels, you know, like that's, I feel a sensation of some kind of tingle. You know, there's this. And they stop. And they call the doctor and they're like, we'll do it. We'll catch up next time. We'll not do that one this time. Well, I'm like, yeah, it just felt like maybe it was cold or like, oh yeah, it was refrigerated. I'm like, but that was it. that was what I was feeling. That was what I should have just kept my mouth shut and I would have had the whole thing. But, yeah, so it looks terrifying. But a week from Monday, I get to go and get a port in my chest underneath my collarbone here. And so they'll just be able to poke in the, you know, it's, you know, like when they pull a shot out of a syringe, right? You know, so you're going to get immunized like Larry did yesterday. We should talk about that.
I didn't that happen, little, by the way. So that, I got I had to reschedule.
Man. I got my, go ahead, Andy.
You know the little rubber bunghole that's in the vial?
Yeah.
That's basically what they're going to put in my chest, a little rubber bunghole. I'm going to have a bunghole in my chest. Wait.
Yeah, write that down.
You're going to have a bunghole.
Need a bell or a title there.
Yeah, you're going to have a bunghole 2 inches below the other bunghole.
Bunghole. Hey. I don't like that at all. Bunghole in my chest. Yeah, so got that going for me. But, God, you know, it's weird. So far, so weird. Here's one thing, though. They told me that I'm toxic for 72 hours after I get the stuff.
We've been trying to tell you that for a long time.
But, like, you know, if you get a drip of pee on the rim of the toilet, you got to scrub that with bleach.
Really?
Yeah, if you sweat in a shirt, clean that with, wash that with bleach separately.
So what'd you do? Yeah, sleep like in like a plastic like garbage bag?
Toxic, basically.
Yeah.
Ew. Yeah. So that's fun. But anyway, that's cancer talk.
Yeah, that's good talk. All right. We should. I'm going to ask Alex to make a little Andy's Cancer Corner jingle. We just have a little separate, you know, section each week. And
but you know, honestly, this morning I'm out there and I'm getting the working on cleaning stuff up in the backyard and everything. And I just had that feeling of, God, I'm pretty happy right now. Things are everything else is going.
I want to bring this point up though. That you said that your kids weren't around, right? And your wife was getting her nails done. Let's make sure that is being
put an asterisk on
exactly.
That. fair enough. Yeah. Larry, you didn't get the. I'm sorry, you didn't get the jab.
Had to reschedule it. There was a mix up. We went through CVS, and it's a long story. But we have an appointment. We're going on Thursday, April Fool's Day, which seems like a weird day to do it. As long as they're not, you know, yanking our chain, we're gonna both get the jab on Thursday.
I'm going.
Joshua?
I'm going Friday.
There you go.
I'm going on Friday morning. Yep.
Nice. And Sam. Yeah. Have you been inoculated yet?
I have not, but it's, what is it, the middle of the month that I can do it?
It's April 1st. as of tomorrow, it's everybody 16 and older, isn't it?
Is it tomorrow?
Oh, is that why? Because I literally just got an email from UCLA saying, hey, you're eligible effective this date. Do you want to schedule? And I was just like looking at the email, like, is this a joke? And just quickly started saying yes, yes, yes. And then picked a date and a time. And they were like, okay, come
Perfect.
On. Yeah. And so I had no idea why. I was like, surely it's not because of my weight, you know, because I'm super thin right now.
Paige got it and Claire got it. And then Thomas got, my son got the Johnson & Johnson in Missouri is, he's back.
I got the Johnson
right
& Johnson in Missouri once. I don't know what that means.
So that's good.
So how's the fam? Catch us up. How you got tested in Augusta?
Sorry. Ask me.
That. Oh, you're losing your.
Sorry.
You got tested in Augusta?
Yeah, so I'll get tested.
You got tested in Augusta?
Test you beforehand.
I was going to test everybody before anybody goes in there.
Can you? Okay.
we're losing Sam just a little bit. Hey, fellas, while he figures out his ear pod business, we do have a couple of phone calls. Did you want to?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Any interest in that?
You betcha.
We've got a phone line. I don't know if you knew this. We have a phone line. It's called the YAF line. And that number is 626-657-6428. And in addition to that, we've come up with a mnemonic device to remember that. And that is O-Amuck PM hat.
Did you ever think of maybe just getting O-Amuck PM put on your hat?
Oh my God.
We should sell it. We should put
that,
it on the
O-Amuck PM. Then point to the hat. Oh my God. Josh, that is genius.
That's some of my better work. Thank you.
Wow.
Gosh, that is so good.
Man, really that is good. Next level. Yep. Yeah, meta yeah, shit. Yeah. Wow.
Oh,
that's
God.
Glorious. Let's see. All right.
And we'll make them available here. In melon size or whatever. Yeah,
exactly.
Big melon. Big melon. Big here melon. We go.
Gentlemen, it's Ron from Claremont. Hey, Andy. I'm sure you've probably been made aware of this by somebody out there, but medicinal marijuana can be used to alleviate the symptoms of from your cancer treatment. Yeah, so it can be used to treat nausea and that kind of thing and make you not throw up that much. So, you know, maybe while you're on air with Josh and them, you can take a medicinal doobie, take a toke, and then, you know, discuss more of your home improvement with us. I think that'd make for a hilarious episode. But seriously, though, you can use it to alleviate your nausea. All right? Thanks.
Bye. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, you're not showing any symptoms, right?
I had not heard about that. I was not aware of that.
Oh, really? It would be fun to do an Andy is Stoned show if we get the chance. Exactly. It would be pretty great. Yeah.
Can I tell you something? I want to tell you guys something. Okay, so I have been over the last week or so. I've been enjoying a little bit of marijuana, and it's been taking. It really, I think it may be the reason, because I have, you know, actually in the first few days, I would wake up feeling just a little top heavy. And Lara's like, what do you mean when you say that?
Size of your head.
Just, it's the size of my head. It's my big melon, and it's the center of gravity. So I just kind of go with it, you know? You're on a roll, Josh. Anywho, I just it felt like I was on top of a unicycle, you know, like I was going to stumble this way or that way. And after I get my work done in the afternoon, just a little tiny puff, puff, give, and it mellows me right out. It really makes me. And so I that might, you know, be part of what's to credit for all of this. But I wanted to tell you one other thing. Okay. So, you know, one of my favorite stories, Josh, is when we went, out to watch the draft with Rex Lynn, and he ordered an O'Doul's. character actor Rex Lynn, who's just fantastic. He orders an O'Doul's. I'll just tell the story quickly. And it's you know, it's May. They were still having the draft at that point. It's hot outside. And the bartender, the waitress comes back, and she says, I'm sorry, the O'Doul's, we just have, we had one six pack we found out in the shed, and it's pretty warm, but we could give it to you like over ice if you wanted. And he's like,
and she goes, and how's that sound?
Yeah, how's that sound? And he considers it for a second. You can see he's mulling it over. He's like, that sounds pretty awful. Let's try that. Let's see what that looks like.
That sounds like one of the worst things I've ever heard.
That sounds one of the worst things I've ever heard. Go and bring that to me. Let's see what that turns out like. Well, I have been looking for a non-alcoholic beer for, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, knowing that I can't, well, last month, I haven't been able to have any alcohol. So, you know, we go out to dinner a few times here and there, and like Laura's able to have a glass of wine, I can't. And I'm like, gosh, you know, I Virgin Mojito, that's nice here and there, but I wonder if I could just approximate a beer if I'm going to go and have some tacos or something like that. So I've tried a few different ones, and they're not great. No. I mean, like the Heineken OO or whatever, right. That one's, it's okay. And, you know, there are a couple that are all right. Went to Whole Foods this last week, and Lagunitas has this new one. It's an IPA called IPNA. Get it? Non-alcoholic. Mm. And I tried one of those. And I had pretty low expectations, but I tried one of those IPAs, and I've got to say, it really wasn't all that good. No. It wasn't, okay, the first one wasn't that great, but the second one, well, that wasn't really good either. But no, as you go on, you kind of get a taste for there's the hoppiness, that tartness up front, that cloying bitterness. And once you get a hold of that acquired taste and the fact that it's carbonated, it actually is the closest thing to a real beer without alcohol that I've ever had. IPNA, Lagunitas.
There is a company called Athletic Brewing Company, which has made non-alcoholic brews that've gotten very high marks. And I literally was just, as you were rambling on that story, I looked up store locations, and guess who carries it?
Circus no. Liquor?
Circus Liquor.
No.
Just a
no.
short walk. Yes.
And I'm going to go down there.
So look for Athletic Brewing at Circus Liquor. It says on the website, it says they've got it. So yeah,
Lagunitas, they aren't there. Isn't there a brewery up north, like closer to around San Francisco?
Petaluma, I think.
Yeah, we played across the street one time, and there was a small bar that like just had all the Lagunitas stuff that was just fresh from the brewery, and it was amazing. It was some of the best beer I ever had.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, I guess the point of that story is, turns out beer is better when there's alcohol in it.
Yeah.
It just is.
You know what? I'm actually convinced that I'm actually think beer doesn't really taste that good. It's just that we like the alcohol. It's a good vessel for alcohol. So when you drink NA, you're like, what's the heck? Why am I drinking this garbage? I might as well just drink Kool-Aid or something, because it tastes like crap. If there's no alcohol in it, then why am I drinking it? Right.
Yeah. But I gotta say, the IPNA, it's got my vote. All right. If you gotta kiss your sister, that's a sister you want to kiss. Hey, are you prepared to? Yeah. Are you prepared to?
If you're watching Ted Lasso, they cover that phrase. It's once you say it out loud, it actually feels really weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't sound good. Yeah. It's like that phrase. Well, the cat's out of the bag now. That's sad,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
What? There's no good reason for a cat to be in a
cat
bag.
In a bag, yeah. Not to mention, cats get a lot of abuse. There's more than one ways to skin it. One way to skin a cat.
Exactly.
It's like, who's? Yeah. How long's it been since we've been skinning cats? Who's doing that?
Yeah, it's not good. I've never seen anyone skin a cat for any practicable use.
Jesus.
Hey, Larry, are you prepared to play the theme song for this next thing?
I can do anything you want, man.
Low energy bike. Art. Low energy bike.
Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. First off, I want to say that it sounds like Andy has a good plan, a good attitude. I have high hopes for a successful outcome. Oh yeah, freshies. Freshies are an area of untracked snow, usually off in some area where the unwashed masses don't normally congregate. Freshies are fairly important to this snowboarder. Closing day for the ski area is April 4th. Not too sure if I will make another trip up or not, as I am a snow snob, and I don't really care much for spring conditions. And besides that, I'm behind at work. Speaking of work, I needed to go do a shop dig out this morning. It's only about 3 blocks away. Pretty good commute for a ditch digging man. Talk to you later.
There you go. Oh, play the closing.
That was low energy, Mike. That was low energy, Mike.
I heard that one 5x5.
Yep. I figured it out.
Speaking of freshies, Sam, you went and found some freshies last week. Are you an accomplished skier, Samuel?
You know, I skied a lot as a kid. My dad, who grew up in Big Piney, Wyoming, when we lived in Boulder, was a ski instructor on weekends at Copper Mountain. So he worked at IBM during the week and then was a ski instructor on the weekends. So I did a lot of skiing in Colorado and was on the ski team there at Copper Mountain. So I did a lot of skiing. But as time went on, and it's expensive and had a family, I went a long time without skiing. But then you don't really forget that stuff. Mm. Your body can still move in those ways. That's funny because my kids said, you know, Dad, it comes pretty easy to you. You ski pretty naturally. But everything else in life comes hard for you. Zero flexibility. You live around the house and then you can ski. So they said, you have no other athleticism except when you have skis on, Dad. So I can, I'm pretty comfortable skiing. And before I was married, it was 97, so, or 96, and in 96, I was getting ready. My brother had a bachelor party for me, and we went up skiing. We went up heli-skiing for a week in Canada.
Heli-skiing? Yeah. Now, that's where do they land, or do you jump out of
land. They land.
They land?
You ski basically a week that's trackless, powder. You go to the top of these mountains. But one of the pranks we did, because we did pranks constantly, and my brother and I, and he had a couple friends, came from Switzerland. One guy was 8 years on the World Cup mogul tour, so he's incredible. But flying over, my brother, they stopped in London on the way over, because my brother lives in Switzerland. And his friend... my brother bought this magazine that was like, it was the most over the top porn. His buddy was asleep on the plane, kind of leaned back, and my brother just got the worst possible picture, laid it open on his chest and hit the flight attendant button. So when you're heli-skiing, you have to wear these beacons, avalanche beacons, because they have problems with avalanches. You're in the bugaboos in Canada, and you wear them under your ski suit, and your ski suit is a one-piece sort of like jumpsuit because you don't want powder getting in and falling in a tree, whatever. So you wear these beacons, and then if there's a slide, you take you're constantly on transmits or whatever it is, transmit. And then if there's an avalanche and you can't see where people are buried, you take off your beacon and you put it on receive, and you can then... They teach you. You spend half a day learning how to,
like a Geiger counter. Like you can walk around and beep beep
and find out where the people are.
Oh wow!
Like a metal detector. So every night we'd take off our beacons and they'd check the batteries, and you'd have them in the mud room, whatever it was, and then you'd go out again. So one night we took with one of his buddies. We hid every avalanche beacon, there were 40 of them, in his room and put them all on receive, you know. So, and so we put 39 hidden in his room, these loud beeping things, and hid them in, under the bed, in the bedding. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, we ran by his room with one on transmit. And then it stopped. And then we'd run back the other way. And there was one guy from France. It's this cool outfit. It's called Canadian Mountain Holidays. And they had three buses taking us up there. So you had all this room on the bus and they had those little Christmas tree scent things, you know, the evergreen pine
thing. Right.
Sure.
And this guy from France said, you know, complained about him. He didn't like him. The smell was making him sick. And Jean-Pierre or something. And so they put them all in plastic bags on his bus. But of course, my brother kept one of them and tore it into many pieces and like buried him in his pillow and things.
Oh, God.
So he gets up the first night, first morning, and his hair's all sideways. And he says, "Jean-Pierre, how was it?" And he goes, "All the night I dream of the bus. All the night I dream of the bus." tore it up into more pieces and put it in every pocket of his ski suit. You know? That was really fun. Anyway, so long story short, yeah, I like to go skiing.
Here's the thing about skiing, and especially about what you're talking about skiing on untouched, like an uncurated ski slope that terrifies me is it's just a matter of simple machines. It's the incline plane. And once I get velocity and I'm starting to move, the fear of not being able to stop or steer is just petrifying to me. And I don't enjoy the idea of skiing because of that.
I'm more scared of Yetis. Them's is real.
Yeah. Both very valid fears.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, founded fears. I just wanted a one last home improvement question for you guys before we start getting to the end here. But are your grills ready to go? Because I've been spending this morning getting the grill all cleaned out and ready to go. On the new concrete pad, I'm up to snuff. I've got like 20 more minutes of work to do. Larry, where are you in the grill process?
It has been on my mind. You are not alone, sir. As the weather has gotten a little warmer, the days are a little longer with the time change. I'm feeling that it didn't happen this weekend. I was very close, but I wasn't prepared. I didn't have any cedar planks for my salmon, which is how I want to do it. So I am targeting next weekend. By the time we talk again, I feel certain that I will have had some form of charred food in my gullet.
Now you have a smoker, is that right?
I do.
It's not a Traeger. It's not
one of those pussy Traeger smokers. It's a manly smoker.
Yours is like a Kmart version.
It's a smoker for adults. Right?
It's how the cavemen smoked their meat.
Nice.
And I might do the salmon on that the next time we do that. But I'm ready, and it's probably according to the weather forecast, it's going to be really lovely here in the 70s, and the sun's going to be out. And I'm already thinking about it. Yes, sir.
Joshua, what is your grill readiness level?
This question baffles me. My grill is all 100% ready every single day of the year.
That doesn't surprise me.
You do briquettes, is that right?
No, I do gas.
Gas.
Yep. Easy cheesy.
No, he's from the Berg, man. He's gonna go out there in his puffy coat and his giant gloves.
Puffy coat. I'll stand out in the rain. I don't care.
Yeah.
My old man used to. Yeah. He would grill out. I remember going out. We had a grill that was hooked into a gas line out in the yard, so it was just like a grill popped up out of the ground. And I remember going out there in the middle of winter and grilling steaks with my old man, like sled riding down the hill, and my old man standing there grilling steaks.
That's what I'm saying. For Josh, there is no grilling season.
I don't know, like putting away. I'm like, what do you mean put it away? Well, what, you're supposed to put them away? That doesn't make sense to me. It's like putting, hey, I put the TV away. Why? I'm just going to... they don't go away. They're there. It's a tweet.
Sam, the Traeger, the trigger? Is the trigger ready on the Traeger?
Oh, the trigger is always ready on the Traeger, and also the sous vide, which I'm getting into now.
The sous vide, how is that? An adjunct of this device, or is that something?
I'll show you a sous vide. Let me grab it here.
Or is this an indoor kitchen? Because I'm familiar with with a hot pot, with one of those
Instapots.
Yeah. Instapots. Yeah.
Instapot. I'll show you. I'm going to show you this thing.
What is sous vide French for?
I think it's
wet. I used to know that.
I should know that. I've heard it. It's like cooking in that. Well, whatever. this is the sous vide. It can be any. The sous vide is this. Okay.
It means under vacuum. Under vacuum.
Under vacuum. Okay, that's what it is. And then any kind of. You can
any
use a
pot
or anything.
Yep.
And what I do, this is a. It controls. It's like a tube here that controls the temperature of the water, right? Keeps it at a very consistent temperature. And
just for everyone listening at home, Sam is got a corded vibrator-looking device and a giant bucket.
Yes.
Are you sure you picked up the right implement, Sam?
And then I have these bags, which you cut to size. So you put a steak in here, and I've got a vacuum sealer, which is the Vide, I guess. Mm-hmm. You put it, say, last night for a steak, what I did yesterday afternoon. I got a T-bone steak. I seasoned it pretty well, liberally, with a salt and pepper and onion and garlic powder. And then I went and cut some rosemary from the front yard and put it in.
Rosemary is really good.
You're going to make me hungry.
I vacuum sealed it and then set the sous vide at like 133 degrees, which is... which is medium rare, and filled this up with water, and then you have this heating element that goes in here and has a cover over here. Then you leave it for like 3 hours and let it cook, and then you Paige just said, you guys are going full dork mode.
I don't see the problem, my dear.
Don't get that piece of paper mixed up with your draft stuff.
So then you cut it open after 3 hours. You cut it. It's cooked perfectly, but the meat looks looks gray and not very appealing. When you cut it open, inside it's perfect. The exterior does not look good. So you take it out of the bag, dry it with paper towels and get it really dry. And then I take it out on the grill and I've got a flamethrower. I've got a literal flamethrower. Yeah, I bring it in here. I've almost caused huge fires at our house. I get this thing, it's so empowering. It's so, especially when I have to sort of
it's like a propane torch?
A man again after using the Traeger. It hooks onto a propane tank, to one of those blue...
Yeah, it's a torch.
And it's a hose.
It's a Burns-O-Matic.
Yeah, and it's massive. I mean, it's got a trigger, and I can shoot a flame 5 feet like in 10.
I'm leaving it now to go get one.
I would love to see a video of you using your... Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing. And
can you please just get in the backyard and I want like three or four shots just right up into the air. Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I will. I'd do it right now for you. If you want to see it. But it's so impressive at night. It's so impressive. Another
thing to do on our reunion show for Andy's birthday. We're adding to the celebration. Sam is going to bring his torch flamethrower for the steaks.
No, you know what? I'll sous vide the steaks. I'll bring them in the bag because you can bring them in the bag, and then you. And we'll cut them open.
You sous vide the steaks. We'll put them on big metal poles and hold them up in the air, and you just anti aircraft those with your flamethrower.
I mean, it's really cool. I'm gonna send you guys a video,
Paul,
and you're gonna get on Amazon tomorrow, and each of you will own one of these things.
So do steak ski.
Alternatively, you can do it in a pan, like the cast iron pan. With grape zero.
That's the loser way to do it.
Yeah. I guess I'm a hillbilly. I just put my steak on the grill and turn it over a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old fashioned.
Yeah.
Larry, before we wrap things up, was there any pressing Yafsack mail that we needed to look at?
No, but we had some lovely messages to you. I want to thank Carrie Dowling for checking in. She was looking for a way to send you some lovely messages of positive energy. Also, Jean, who said, Andy, we will keep you and your family in our prayers as you begin this journey to a healthy birthday celebration. So thanks, Jean, there. John, who also filled us in on exactly what a freshie stash was. And and Donna had a question. Do you mind a question, Andy?
No.
Did your doctor tell you if it's genetic or environmental?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you, no one in my family's had it.
All right.
So it's not evidently, immediately genetic. But as far as the rest of it, I know that she said that it's rare for this type to be, around the spleen and stuff. I mean, that to have it centered there is kind of weird. So I don't know. And I sometimes wonder about, like my workspace here. I'm surrounded by all sorts of electronic equipment and, a bunch of phthalates, I'm sure, and shit that's probably not terribly great for me. Yeah.
It's good you haven't been in an industry where there's just kind of constant machinery or radiation of some sort
I just realized the other day that I've worked in five separate decades in radio.
Right.
And when you start thinking, and you're the same way.
Oh, sure.
When you start thinking about it, I was like, oh my God, that sounds like a long, long time.
Yeah. How much crap has been flowing through my body that whole time little centers.
And soaking in that good old fresh air.
And when there was a long song, I'd go outside and smoke. Yeah. That's radio for you.
Well, if you want to check in and drop a little something in our sack, it is yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. And thanks for your notes.
That was very, very nice. Thank you, everybody. And I wanted to say one thing. It's kind of interesting. A number of people have, given us some stuff. They like, hey, 5 o'clock rolls around and dinner's delivered to the gate, and which is really nice and very wonderful. And we've got everything we need. I'm not saying that because I don't want anybody to do anything. But it just made me realize how impactful that kind of thing is to people when they're in a jam. So I'm definitely going to be thinking about that, in the future when other people are, when they've got this challenge or that challenge or whatever. It's amazing how much little kindnesses like that really buoy somebody's day, And gosh, if I would have known there was this much loot in cancer, I would have gotten it years ago. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty neat. So it's just kind of a life lesson, of taking stock in things that make you happy that you never thought about before, basic things, and little tender things that people do and say. It's been nice.
Honey, reorder that Postmates after all.
Send over some sous vide bags. Josh, how can people get a hold of you?
JoshuaJFlieger@gmail.com.
Larry.
I'm on the Instagram at the Larry Morgan.
Hey.
And you, Samuel?
Sam.farmer@latimes.com or at latimesfarmer on Twitter.
On the Twitter, I'm Andy_Chanley. I'm Andy Chanley on Facebook. No, I'm DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook and Andy Chanley on the Instagram. Beautiful seeing you guys all together
right
again.
Back at you, man.
Great
seeing you guys.
Let's do it again sometime this year or next.
2025. Sure. See you then.
Wow. When the people that you know don't like you, you and your treasure friendships end. Tune in to this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That was a shitload better than the first one.
Now I gotta go make Andy his lunch. See you guys later.
I know I sound like
Linda McCartney on this thing. You're gonna isolate your vocals, Sam. Great to see you, Sam.
See you guys. Good to see you, Sam.
Great seeing
you. Bye-bye.
Bye.